Our children, that's the title for God's meditation of God's word. Pass on the torch. Passing on the great Christian heritage to the generations. As you are aware, we are into the series of godly homes, and that's why we have this title today. Last Lord's Day, we meditated it together, the marks of a godly child. And so today I want to go a little bit more further. When Christian children are there, we have a responsibility. We need to pass on the torch. Ken Ham and Britt Beamer, two authors, published a book recently in the United States called Already Gone. Already Gone, that's the title of the book. And it addresses how the current generation of young people think. Already Gone is the result of a national survey of 20 to 29 years of old, between 20 and 29 years of age. That means a survey that was conducted among the young people who grew up in church. But around 80% of them who grew up in church, in Christian homes, no longer attend church worship services. So the survey found out that a massive dropout from the church. And then they also realized the single biggest reason for such a massive dropout, around 80% of people who grew in the church, and when they become a little bit more older, as they grew as youngsters, dropped out attending the church, the single biggest reason was that the church didn't provide answer for them with which to defend their faith. In other words, the church did not take care of their spiritual need. Already Gone shows that we are not losing these young people in college, but while they were in the middle school and in high school. In other words, when they were teenagers, they have abandoned their faith. And the survey goes on. These young people reject Christ because they are preoccupied with so many things. Electric lifestyles, non-linear thinking, fluid relationships, cut and paste values, open-minded attitudes, tolerance in everything, and technology-fueled expectations. These were their preoccupations. They spend on an average 8 to 10 hours per day with various media sources, isolating themselves from fellowship and relationship with real people. They become absorbed in the cold communication of one-on-one fun with uncaring electronic devices. Or Almost 80% of them embrace the idea that anything is okay if it works. In other words, the end justifies the means. Does this picture portray you? Some of us, perhaps. This is the picture of the new generation. This is the picture of the new generation, a generation that is growing up. Perhaps the millennials, those who were born in 2000 or slightly before that, in the late 1990s, some of our teenagers, those who are just began their teenage, 12, 13, 14, they're not behind. They all are catching up to a situation that these people have noticed in that survey that they have conducted. Already gone. Gone from what? Gone from the great Christian heritage that our forefathers and our fathers so preciously cherished all these years. A new generation, a faithless generation. I hope you understand, you realize the danger that we are in. Some of you youngsters are here listening to me. I thank God that you could come today. Perhaps this message is to you to consider your own life, where you will frame yourself to be in, what position when it comes to your spirituality. As the new generation grow, there are so many things to fill their minds, their thinking. So many things call their attention. But in the midst of all of those things, this is our prayer this morning, that you would not lose the most precious treasure. The most precious treasure for your life, for my life. What is that? What is that? That's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian heritage. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what should we do? How should we handle this situation? We cannot say, oh, my children, they are so obedient, they read God's word, they pray, they listen to me. But do you know that many of these children that Mr. Kenham and Britt Beamer explained, They were grown up in Christian homes. They were attending churches. They were reading God's word. They were praying. But where things went wrong? We need to prayerfully consider the reality, the danger that we are in. Jeremiah warned Israelites. Let me just read from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9, 11, and 13. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In other words, the prophet is saying, God has blessed Israel with the wonderful heritage. Means what? Their faith in the living and true God. But they have forsaken their faith in Yahweh and they compromised with the things around. That is a sin. That is a sin. Today, when we look into Christianity, when we look into our children, when we look into our own lives, we have no shortage of God's word. Nay, we have any shortage of preaching of God's word. You get into the internet today. How conveniently God's word, preacher after preacher, from any denomination, if you want expository preaching, if you want more of practical preaching, whatever, if you want revival preaching, plenty of available. But who has time to listen? Who take heed? Who cares? We are so busy with other things. This morning, therefore, this is a great warning to us, for parents, when we bring up our children. We want to bring them up carefully, with these dangers in mind that our children are in. And for children, for teenagers, for youngsters who are listening with this morning, your responsibility that you cannot take the situation that you are in for granted. You cannot say, oh, never mind. My friends are doing it. I can do, I can enjoy, I can go on the world. What is the big thing? I spend some time in pub. What's the big thing? I just experience this thing or that thing. Your life will be a slave to those things that you try and taste for once. That's what devil's ploy works today. So because of that, this is a great warning for us, dear friends. We have great heritage that the Lord has blessed us with. Turn with me to that passage that we read for our responsive reading. The book of Psalms, please. A beautiful passage. Book of Psalms, number 78. Psalm 78. Okay, please turn to that. Psalm 78. Verse 1 and then verses 4 to 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be their fathers a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. What the psalmist is saying? For the present generation, they need to be close to God. They need to place their hope in God. That's the call for us, especially parents who are listening to me, adults. We have a great responsibility that we, as Sami says in verse 7, we set our heart, our hope in God, keep the commandments of God. And when we do so, we will have a message to communicate to our children, right? That our children would be brought up in the nurture of God's word. They would be taught by the parents. And that's what we have been emphasizing. First and foremost, Christian education happens where? At home. So in our Christian homes, we must have reading of God's word. We should have singing of psalms and hymns. We should have prayer. That's called family altar. Family altar. Husband and wife, or father and mother, together with the children, sitting together and reading and praying, and they're teaching our children God's word. That's what Asaph, the psalmist, calls upon Israel. Hear, give ear, O my people, to my law. It's God's call. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and then you pass on that to your children. Verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord. For, verse 5, God established his testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. In other words, we have a God who continuously dealing with his people. God has not forsaken Israel. God has not forsaken us, his people. He has been mindful of us. He has been guiding us. He has been showing the path unto us and giving us God's word so much day in and day out. So what should we do? We should, first and foremost, we practice it and then we pass on. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. The generation to come. You could see at least three generations are here. In our midst, although we are a very few people, few of us, three generations are here. The grandparents, parents, and the children. Three generations. How would a young child of 5 years, 10-year-old, know the Christian heritage, from grandparents to parents, and then from parents to children? This is how passing on the torch, the gospel torch, the Christian heritage happens. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. While we were doing our theological studies, there's one family serving, a missionary family serving in the Philippines, Metro Manila. The Eberts, they were from the US. Many years ago, they came to Philippines and they set up at the hilltop a Christian center. They reached out to the neighborhoods and preached the gospel. Churches were established and then finally a Bible seminary as well. The father and the two sons, the Eberts. The father wrote a small booklet and he entitled the booklet like this: Will Our Sons Defend the Faith? will our sons and daughters, included, inclusive, will our sons and daughters, or in other words, will our children stand for the gospel? Or they would be after the gadgets that are there, spending hours in order for our children to defend the faith or to stand for the gospel truth. We parents must have the truth. Otherwise, from empty vessels, what is there for you to pass on? We must have the truth. Will our children stand for the gospel truth? When we talk about Christian homes, oh, this is so important for us, that we are not talking about one generation. I was listening to a pastor who, while preaching, he just mentioned what we do as a church. What we do as a church is not for, it is not for just one generation. What we do as a church is for generations to come. Not just the building that we build, but the burden by which we plan and preach, conduct the services, the Bible studies, the publications of various ministries. It is not just for one generation, but my dear friends, for generations to come, that this gospel heritage that our forefathers so earnestly, so vehemently, so prayerfully planned and prepared and guarded, that we need to make sure it goes beyond the present generation. That it would be with us. We thank God that it has been with our forefathers and our fathers. It would be with us. It would be with our children. And from our children, it would be to their children. If the Lord tarries to come, and children's children. Now, do you want to have an example for this? Turn with me to the passage that we read, or the book that we read for our scripture reading, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. I want to share with you this morning the example of Timothy's life very quickly. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, first chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Pass on the torch, the Christian heritage, from generation to generation. Timothy, the young Timothy, stands as an example for us this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance, Apostle Paul says, Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy. When Paul writes this letter to Timothy, Paul says this: when I call to remembrance the pure faith, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Three generations. O Timothy, when I look into your life, Timothy by now has grown as a young man. Now he is a pastor. He is taking charge of a church, an elder. But when Paul looked into Timothy's life, Paul could say, I call to remember, I remember that the faith that is in you, O Timothy, it is a pure faith. possess genuine faith. That's my first point. If you want to pass on something to your children, don't pass on your shares. Shares all will be in Arabian Sea, please. All the shares will be in Bay of Bengal. You know what happened last few days, huh? So many people were not having good sleep in the night. 2,000 points, 3,000 points, within a day, just boom. Ambani had almost a heart attack. He's no longer the richest man in Asia. Ambani, he was the richest man in Asia. Billions he lost within last 2-3 days. He lost his number one position, the richest man in Asia. Somebody else had taken over. That's what shares. We don't put our trust in shares. We don't put our trust in anything else. The buildings, our properties, anything else. But Paul reminds Timothy, when I call to remembrance, when I remember the pure faith that we can treasure for all eternity, is this pure faith. Possess genuine faith, pure faith. What is pure faith? By the way, in the case of Timothy, this pure faith was in Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and then Timothy's mother, Eunice, and now Timothy also has it. In other words, Timothy's parents and grandparents and their grandparents took care the faith that they had, taught their grandson and their son, that when he is able to understand the things, that he is able to stand for that faith, that pure faith. What is the pure faith? Do you know what is the pure faith? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 45. Who want to say it? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 45. Should be in your memory. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 45. What is that, by the way? That is the great Shema. The great Jewish proclamation. The great faith of the Jewish people. Do you know what? What that faith? What is the proclamation? We read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The word hear in Hebrew language is a Shema. From that it is known as Shema. Hear. The hear declaration. What is the hear declaration? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, our faith is in the monotheistic one God. Who is He? The creator of heavens and earth. The supreme sovereign God. We don't believe in polytheism, many gods. We believe in one God. Who is He? The creator of heavens and earth. Yesterday I was explaining this truth to one of our brethren who came to the office. We spent some time together to understand some of the doctrines. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not three gods. You have one God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Same in essence, same in power, same in glory, same in authority. That is the glorious truth. This triune God together devised the plan of salvation for us. When you come to the Trinity, God the Father sent God the Son eternally being generated from the Father. That is a Christian truth. Jesus Christ is not a small God. Jesus Christ is not a God. Jesus Christ is the God with the Father. Same essence, same glory, same power, same authority. But when it comes to His work, the redemption, he obeyed to the Father. Father sent him. And he came to this world, brought salvation for us. Jesus Christ, the second person, died for us. He lived a perfect life and then he died on the cross, saved us. Remember Romans chapter 3 verses 21 to 27, the passage that we read for our confession this morning. Beautiful gospel passage. Take note. Romans 3 verses 21 to 27. Beautiful gospel passage. The righteousness of God is revealed through Jesus Christ, that we, the sinful people, can have the righteousness of God because Jesus, the perfect Son of God, lived all through his earthly sojourn without any sin, proved himself that he is truly righteous, and that righteous Savior, a righteous God, became a righteous Savior for us on the cross. He died, he shed his blood, that he took upon himself our sin, my sin, your sin. That he saved us. He saved us. That is the gospel. That his righteousness, because of he paid the penalty for our sin, the curse of sin on us been removed. Jesus' righteousness now placed in our account on us. That is the gospel. Today we have the righteousness of God. Today we have the righteousness, you know, that we can relate with the holy God, although we are unholy, because Jesus Christ. That is a pure faith. Don't say that I don't know the gospel. You may be a Christian for many years, but what is the gospel? Why gospel is a good news? You have no entry toward the righteousness of God because of your sin. Because of Jesus' obedience all through his life and the work that he has finally done on the cross, you possess the righteousness of God. I possess the righteousness of God, that I can call on him, Abba, Father. I struggle so much in this life. Can you help me? I am a sinful person. Would you forgive my sin? Would you clothe with me your righteousness? I need your righteousness, Lord. That is the gospel. That is a pure faith. Unfeigned faith. Genuine faith. Faith. That when we have that faith in us, Moses reminds Israelites, after the declaration of the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then Moses says, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." The gospel truth is for us to live out. Have you got it? The gospel truth is for us to live out, to practice, to follow. In other words, Christian faith is not a nominal faith. Christian faith is not a fashionable faith. Christian faith is a believing and trusting faith. Please take note. Many Christians go to church just because of their parents are Christians. They just go. Not because that they really want to go and worship the Lord and serve him. They're Christians just for namesake. Their faith is not the genuine faith. But I pray that this morning you have come because you have that genuine faith inside your heart. Not because that you are born into a Christian home, that you are a son of a pastor, a son of an elder, that you have no other choice, you need to come to the church. No! You have come this morning because you have experienced in your heart the righteousness of Christ, The power of the gospel which Jesus exhibited on cross, the love of God, compels you to come, to worship Him, to serve Him, to follow Him. Otherwise, your faith is a nominal faith. It's just a fashion that you want to call yourself Christian. God forbid. God forbid. Genuine faith. Possess genuine faith. True faith. Authentic faith. So I want everybody to confess your sin. In your heart, you believe that Jesus truly, truly is my Savior. Not because of my father is a Christian, I am a Christian. No. You have personally accepted, confessed your sin, accepted in your heart. No salvation away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine faith. That we truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy was such an example. He possessed genuine faith. Secondly, Timothy held on to that faith. We are still in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Paul continues to tell Timothy, but continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. Verse 15, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy should possess the genuine faith, and then what should Timothy do? Timothy should continue. Hold on. Hold fast. Hold fast the genuine faith. Now you take a look into chapter 1, verse 14. The same thought is there. Chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Spirit. A few verbs are here. Timothy has to continue. Timothy has to hold fast. Timothy has to keep. Means what? Timothy has to cherish. First, we should have the genuine faith. And secondly, we should cherish that genuine faith. Are you proud of your Christian belief? That God has saved me. God has forgiven my sin. I thank God for the faith of my fathers. That today I have that same faith in me, that I need to cherish it, I need to treasure it, I need to keep it, I need to hold fast, I need to continue in it. We thank God for the great Christian heritage, that today we can continue to praise and worship, that we should be thankful to God. Timothy has to continue, hold fast. And finally, let me mention one more thing. Chapter 2, the passage that we read as a scripture reading, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Having possessed the genuine faith, having held fast the genuine faith, Timothy has to pass on the genuine faith to the generations. That's the third point. Pass on the genuine faith to the generations. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What should we do with this true and genuine faith? Don't keep it for yourself. Let our children have it. In other words, We have to make sure that we pass on this glorious truth to our children. Timothy, my son, Paul's spiritual son, be strong in the grace, and that's a call for all of us. Because we have the Christian faith, we can be strong. The word strong means be empowered. We need to be empowered because of our faith. Because of Jesus Christ, we have the power. What is that power? It is a spiritual power. Power to battle sin. Power to withstand all the influences that we are facing today, as I mentioned at the introduction, whether you are a youngster, a young person, or whether you are a child, whether you are an older person, enormous temptations out there. Can we overcome? Yes. Paul says, Timothy, be empowered. Remember that you have, the Lord has blessed you with the salvation. You have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. So when you are in danger, spiritual danger, what should you do? Kneel down, pray, cry out to God. You have a serious prayer life. You cry out to God. Father, I am facing this temptation, this problem. My children are not listening. How should I handle? Help me. That is crying out. The Lord would empower us. And then verse 2. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men, and you shall be able to teach others also. Do you know that there are four generations are mentioned here in this passage, in these two verses? It's the gospel generations. Paul received the gospel truth from his forefathers, from Paul to Timothy, from Timothy to faithful men, from faithful men to others, four generations. Or from Timothy's grandparent to the parent, to Timothy to others. There can be five generations. In other words, what Paul is saying here, that we have the genuine, authentic faith. The word same, there's the word same over there. Same committed thou to faithful men. The word same there means same in quality. The genuine faith. So don't go after any kind of faith. There are impure faith outside. So you should know what you believe. As a child of God, your faith, and the same you commit to faithful men, that they will faithfully pass on to others. In other words, you parents, we must make sure that our understanding of the Christian truth is genuine. We have the truth, and we thank God as a church, we have started our theology class, and I'm so encouraged. Many of you have signed up and have been attending the theology class under IRBS, India Reformed Biblical Seminary, for our adults class after the Sunday worship service. And many of you are very much earnest. You want to know the truth. Genuine faith. Genuine faith. So when we have that genuine faith, we pass on to our children. From our children to their children, from their children to their children, it goes on. It goes on now. I want to conclude meditation of God's word this morning. Finally, this one verse I want to call your attention. The first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis 48. The second last chapter The third last chapter of Genesis is 48. Genesis 48, verse 21. Genesis 48, 21. These were the last words of Jacob before he died. And Israel, that's Jacob, said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die." But, now listen to this phrase, so meaningful, so encouraging. "But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." Jacob was a very rich man. Do you know that? Jacob was a very rich man. But Jesus did not mention anything about his richness when he passed on the treasure unto his children. These were the final blessing. Jacob passing on to his children. When he called his children, he told them, "My time has come. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But remember, God shall be with you." What a meaningful statement. What a meaningful statement. Parents listening to me this morning, would you be able to say in your deathbed to your children, your son or your daughter, if you have that ability to say, "I die, I go the way that God has appointed for every man, but God, my God, shall be with you." If at all I will have the ability to tell my final words to my son or my daughter, I desire, these would be the words that I want to tell. "I go, my time has come, I must go, but my God shall be with you." Remember, all that we accomplish in this world physically will be left here. That's why I told you earlier about the shares, properties or whatever. We will leave all those things behind. The only thing we take along with us is our faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure we have that faith. We have that faith in His glory, in His purity. The gospel. You take initiative to find out the purity of the gospel. I could just explain a little bit this morning in my message. But you make sure you have the pure faith. Paul told Timothy, "You have the pure faith." And then treasure it. Hold it. Don't neglect it. Don't say, "I am a Christian," and leave anyhow. You neglect that faith. You do not hold on to that faith. Treasure your Christian heritage. And finally, when the call comes to depart from this world, make sure your son, your daughter has that faith, that he or she would possess it, and she or he would pass on to his children or her children, the generation after generation, we, the Christians, follow the glorious gospel. We glorify the name of the Lord, shall we pray.